We've been talking all month about looking up, getting up and looking up. The fastest, most effective way I have personally found in my life to get up is to stop looking around and start looking up. Start looking at God. Like, that just brings me up immediately. As soon as I get my eyes off of me and off of my surroundings, I start looking at God. I behold Him and all that He is to me, and everything changes. Everything changes. It defies description. It defies logic. But it's true. From experience, I can tell you it's true. So I'm continuing the message today on up. Thank you, worship team, so much. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. You guys are such a blessing. Always a blessing. I've been starting out every week with a little bit of good news, but today I'm going to switch it up because I can, you know, and I'm going to share with you, it is good news, but it's something a little different. It's not a news report. A group of kids were asked to tell what is love. They were asked the question, what is love? And this is some of the responses they gave. And it just, I loved their responses. And sometimes I just want to become more like a child. I don't want to become childish, but I want to become childlike, you know? So Billy, age 4, what is love? He said, when you love someone, oh my gosh, this makes me cry. What else is new, right? When you love someone, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Is that not sweet? Some of you need to hear God saying your name today. Because your name is safe in His mouth. He will never take your name in vain. There's too much love. Carl, age 5, this is fun. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Yeah, you gotta love that, right? Chrissy, age 6, now she's got it going on. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. That is true love. Noelle, age 7, says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. I'm like, she must have some personal experience with that. Elaine, age 5, says, love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. I know, so sweet, right? Marianne, age 4, says, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Oh, so sweet. Bobby, age 7, says, now this is deep. This is amazing for a 7-year-old. He definitely is a deep thinker. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you just stop opening presents and listen. I know, right? Nika, I love Nika. She needs to run for office somewhere. She says, if you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. Oh my gosh, that is the best. I like that she says, a friend you hate. Okay. Cindy, age 8, wrote, during my piano recital, I was on the stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and I saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore, and that felt like love. Ah. We all need someone waving and smiling at us, you know? We have someone. Karen, age 7, I like this one. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. She's seen some cartoons, some Disney cartoons, I'm thinking. Stars, you know. Jessica, age 8, says you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Okay, just got spanked by an 8-year-old. An anonymous 4-year-old, his name wasn't given, He had a neighbor who was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his life. And upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." That's love. Sometimes we get confused and think we need the right words, and we don't. Terry, last one, age 4, said, "Love is what makes you smile when you're tired." Yeah. Are you tired? I don't know. I've been tired lately, and I'm getting enough sleep, and I'm eating right, and I'm exercising, so don't go all practical on me. I'm just tired. I'm tired of wearing masks and shields. I'm tired because I was told we needed 15 days to flatten the curve, and it's been almost 6 months. And that's not a blame on anybody. I'm just saying this is the reality we're living in. I'm tired of people hating each other. Really, really tired of that. Tired of Facebook evangelists who want to preach their way without ever listening to anyone else. I'm tired. It just makes me tired. So here's what I have for you today. I have some good news. Do you know why it's called a news feed? Because we feed on it. We feed on it. Some of us, we find a burger on our news feed. And we go, well, not super nutritional, but tasty. And it fills me up a little bit, so I'll just eat that. Some of us go, oh, that's so sweet. I really like sweet posts. It makes me happy. I like sweets in general, so it goes that I would like puppies on Facebook and children. I love that. Some of us find some really nutritional stuff on Facebook. And the last one just speaks for itself. It's warm and it's fresh. Yeah. Got to see it to believe it. What's in your news feed? What's in your news feed? Isaiah 35:3 says this: "With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees." If you're tired like me, here's some news for you. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. What do we do with our hands? We grasp onto something and then we hold on, right? So if you feel like your hands are tired of holding on, sometimes it feels like you're holding on by your fingernails, you know, and you're dangling over the edge of a precipice. If that's you, we have some news for you today that's going to strengthen your tired hands. What do we do with our knees? Our knees give us an ability to stand without getting pushed over by the latest teaching or the latest trend or the latest person. Gives us an ability to stand. Also gives us a little ability to bend, but not lose our footing, right? So with this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. Now, it would be an epic fail if I didn't tell you what the news was. I just wanted to tell you why the news is important. Dun, dun, dun. Why it's important. And then tell you what the news is. Okay? So we're going to go back to the first verse of Isaiah 35. We're going to spend the whole message in Isaiah 35 today. So it's not going to be all over the Bible. It's easy if you can pull it up on your electronic Bible or in your hard copy. Isaiah 35. And that chapter is a prophetic picture of what it looks like when Jesus comes. Okay? It's a prophetic picture of what it looks like when Jesus comes, when he shows up. Now, when Isaiah wrote it, it was pointing forward to the time when Jesus came as a baby. Some of us are looking for him to come as a superhero, and he came as a baby. Okay? So don't be confused if he doesn't look the way you thought he was going to look. But this is a picture. Now that we can see from this side of Jesus coming, I think it reveals what happens in our lives when Jesus comes. Jesus has come to the earth, but when he comes into our lives, this is what happens. So in the first four verses, first, it says this: even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. Doesn't sound like a desert. An abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon and as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There, in the desert, there, in the wasteland, the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news. Not with this news. Not even with this news. Not even with this news. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. And encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Hint, enemies aren't people. What are the enemies? Enemies are lack of joy, lack of peace. Enemies are chaos. Chaos, enemies, hatred. That's an enemy. God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Here's the thing. I am so convinced that sometimes it takes a wasteland to reveal the glory of God. Have you ever noticed if you go into a jeweler and you ask to see some loose diamonds, they don't just hold the loose diamonds on their hand to show you. What do? They put a black velvet cloth and then put the diamonds on that black velvet cloth. Why? Because the black background reveals the brilliance of the diamond. The lights help too. Right? This wasteland that some of us are going through regarding the pandemic, maybe even regarding something apart from the pandemic, maybe loosely connected, it can be the very place where you see the glory of God revealed. It can actually, even in an election year, yes, I said it, you can see the glory of God. It can be a place that blossoms with an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. You know what I love about wastelands? I love that when you see an abundance of flowers, you know that it's not the work of man. It's the work of only God. And when I can look back over my life, both now and in the past, and I can see those places that felt like such a wasteland, such a desert, but I see these pictures of flowers blooming, I know, yep, I didn't do that. Only God could have done that. Only God. So what do you say to people that are afraid? What do you say? You say, be strong. We need each other right now, encouraging each other. Be strong. Don't be afraid. God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you. This is what we need right now from each other. I need it. You need it. We all need it. So as I was preparing this message, I found myself asking, what glory of God have I seen during this desert of the last 6 months? What is the glory of God I have seen personally? Now, I'm going to share mine with you, but the goal is at the end of the message for you to have some of your own. what do I see in this desert that I know is the glory of God? First of all, God has increased my gratitude. Wow. I was talking to Louise this week and I said, Louise, I know my gratitude has gone up because I woke up one morning and it was raining and I said, oh, thank you, God. We really need the rain. And then in the afternoon, the rain went away and the sun came out and I said, oh, thank you, God. I love the sun. It seems so small, but my gratitude has just increased. My gratitude for gathering together in a building, I've always valued that, but now I am so thankful when we can come together. And it was hard at first. You can tell, you can ask Rhonda. After a few weeks, I was like, Rhonda, I don't know if this is worth it. Like, this is hard. It is hard looking out and seeing masks. It's hard. And it's hard being separated, and it is hard. It doesn't feel the same as it used to feel. She encouraged me. She goes, please, trust me. Because she had been out for a couple of weeks with Doug, I think. And she said, trust me, I needed to come together today. I needed this. And ever since then, I felt like something broke off of me, and now I can just value what we have instead of wishing for what we used to have. I can just value what we have and be thankful for it. God has also given me an upgrade in my filtering system. Might hold on to that one. Definitely hold on to this one. He has taught me and he is continuing to teach me how to filter out thoughts, how to filter out ideas and concepts before they penetrate too deeply. He has done that in a big way in the last 6 months. I mean, I'll start reading something, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or even on the news, because I don't really watch the news. I get my news from online. I can start reading a news article and I can feel this, stop reading. Eggs out of that one. Just stop reading. That one's not good. Some of them are good. Some of them are not. He's given me an upgrade in my filtering system. What a beautiful thing. We needed an upgrade in our filtering system. He has also brought a hunger in me to see justice. I hate injustice. I loathe injustice. And I see it. And it makes me very sad. And very angry. I think God has done that. In doing that, he's increased my compassion. Even for people that I vehemently disagree with, I have more compassion for them. He's also heightened my ability to hear his voice. I told you once before, I feel like I don't go anywhere now without saying, God, is today a good day to go grocery shopping? Where should I go grocery shopping today? Should I do it online or should I go into the store? Like, I listen for his voice. Something so simple this week, I had planned to get a few groceries one day. And this is really silly and tiny and yet somehow it meant something to me. And in the morning, I felt like God said, yeah, you go buy your groceries today, right now. Just go on and buy your groceries right now. And I was like, okay. So I went at a time when I normally wouldn't go. And then the time when I normally would have gone was in the afternoon, pouring rain, sheets of rain. And I'm like, thank you, God. I'm so glad I don't have to go grocery shopping in the rain. It's hard to wear a shield in the rain. That's the only downside of a shield is like it just gets really wet. But I don't like buying groceries in the rain. It's a pain. And God knew that. And he said, yeah, go ahead now. I love that. When Jesus comes, the glory of God is revealed. You just have to look for it. Point number two, when Jesus comes, miracles happen. Isaiah 35, 5 through 7 says, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. Do you feel like people have blind eyes and deaf ears right now? Here's the irony. We all think we can see just fine, but other people are blind. Have you noticed this? We think, oh, I'm hearing just fine, but they are off. They are not hearing right. That's so arrogant. God, save us from our arrogance. Every group, even ones that are diametrically opposed to each other, we're woke, you need to get woke. No, we're woke, you need to get woke. What? How about if we let Jesus decide who is woke? How about that? How about we let Jesus open blind eyes? How about we let Jesus unplug deaf ears? How about if I approach Jesus and I say, Jesus, if there's some blindness that you need to show me, can you heal me and show me that? Instead of, wah, 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 wah. Jesus is the answer. When he comes, miracles happen. Lame will leap for joy. Those who could not even talk will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth. Think Mount Rushmore. Don't think a little. Gush forth in the wasteland. That phrase that says parched ground will become a pool, there's a Hebrew word picture that goes with that that actually says the mirage will become a real lake. Wow. Like, how cool is that? So if you're in the desert, you've probably seen on movies, I've never experienced this, but I've seen on movies before, where you're in the desert and or the person's in the desert and they'll see in the distance this mirage, and it's this beautiful lake with plants and trees all around it. And so they start going, oh, I need water. I must have water. And when Jesus comes, there's water, not an illusion. There's real water. Point three, when Jesus comes, the environment changes. The actual environment changes. Verses 8 through 10, and a great road will go through the once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear. And they will be filled with joy and gladness. That's what happens when Jesus comes. Not only is the glory of God revealed, not only do miracles happen, but the environment actually changes. You have the potential to change whatever environment you walk into. Just carry Jesus with you. Make sure he's in there. I know Jesus abides and we abide in him, and I know he's always present. I get that. But the same apostle who wrote about abiding also wrote, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. And that's how I feel. Maybe more than ever in my life, apart from Jesus, I'm nothing. I got nothing. I got no answers. I got no hope without Jesus. What if God made sure you were on the earth in this time, in this place, so that you could bring Jesus to people? So that you could help show people the highway of holiness. Now, don't think holiness as in religion, got to do it all right. Think of holiness as being in Jesus and letting Jesus be in you. That's it. The word highway in Hebrew actually means raised way, where all of the obstructions have been moved and all of the hills have been moved aside, right? What if we're supposed to help build or maintain the highway of holiness? Instead, God tries to build a highway and we're throwing a rock in the middle of it. Nah, you can't go unless you get around this rock. You can't go unless you think more like me. You can't get on this highway unless you're like me. And I think we're supposed to partner with him and make it as easy as possible for people to find their way to God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. So I'm asking you now, what is the glory of God for you in this season? Ask yourself, maybe take some notes this afternoon or tomorrow and just write down the glory of God in this season. What do you see that you know could only be because of God? What flowers do you see? What hope do you see in this season right now? What miracles are we praying for right now? What miracles are we praying for? How can we strengthen tired hands and encourage weak knees? We're going to have communion now. And it's available on both sides. Just go sanitize your hands, pick up a cup, and come back to your chair, and we'll share it together. I'm going to step over here and get one first. If you could approach the tables from the back and then exit from the front, it will help us with social distancing a little bit. So go ahead and move, and I might sing a little bit while you're doing that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Oh, not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute were we forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. This is what communion reminds me of. Because of what Jesus did, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in that place. The Lord is in that place. The bread is a reminder that he came to make us whole. He came to not leave us in our mess, but to heal us. So let's take the bread together. The juice is a reminder that God makes it possible for us to partner with him, for us to come close to him. He is not in the distance. He is close. He has not forsaken us in the pandemic. He has been right in the middle of it with us, showing his glory, that our spiritual self can come to life because of this, that we can be clean and holy, that we can walk on the highway of holiness because of the juice that represents the blood of Christ. So we thank you for that, God. Let's drink the juice. God, I thank you for this whole service, the worship, your very obvious presence throughout the whole time, your healing touch, your mercy. I thank you for the people who are here and at home who have partnered with Oak River with their finances. Lord, I pray a blessing on each one of them, that you will pour back into their lap in many different ways and many different mediums, that you would pour back into their laps everything and more they have ever sown into Oak River and into our outreach projects that we do. Just pray a blessing on every single person who tithes and gives freely of offerings to Oak River. Bless that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for a great day together. I pray that you would help us to go out and search for the glory of God, for your glory in this moment, in this day. Amen. Recently, I heard Stephen Furtick say, I love this, it keeps ringing in my head. He said, I will search for the streams that hydrate my hope. That's really good, isn't it? I will search for the streams that hydrate my hope. So do that. If you want one of the streams tomorrow, we have prayer at noon online, a Zoom prayer meeting. Would love to have you join us for that. That will hydrate your hope. Without a doubt, it will feed your hope. It lasts about 45 minutes or so. Hope you can join us. And then coming next week, we have a new series. Do we have a graphic for it? Awesome. Transformers. Oh yeah, baby. I'm going to be interviewing the Chang kids to get some input on that. Adam, are you into Transformers? Not so much? Okay, so the Chang kids are my go-to resource for this. Next week, Dave will kick it off with a message he's calling All Things New. It's going to be fabulous. Not because I know what he's preaching, just because I know Dave. So, thank you. Have a great week. I took 3 extra minutes, and Jack, you made it. We didn't have to tackle Jack. He was threatened to leave early today, and I said, well, we're going to have a tackle Jack if that happens. So, have a great week. Love you guys.